Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out, procrastination, putting it off, kicking the can down the road. In, plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out, carpet in the bathroom. Like, why? In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
Looking to improve your diet in the new year? Try seeing a personal dietitian with Nourish. Nourish has hundreds of dietitians who specialize in a variety of health concerns, including weight loss, gut health, and more. Meet with your dietitian online and message them anytime through the Nourish app. Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans. 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Find your personal dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
We won't send you a bill. Portland Sports Leader, 1080 The Fan.
Well, I didn't think you had it in you.
I'm your huckleberry.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
Why, Johnny Ringo. You look like somebody just walked over your grave.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
Fight's not with you, Holiday.
I beg to differ, sir. We started a game we never got to finish. Play for blood, remember?
Dirt and Sprague on 1080.
I was just fooling about.
I wasn't.
The Fan.
All right, welcome back in. Hour 2, Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan. The Odyssey app, 99.5 HD2 and YouTube.com/1080AM The Fan. Good morning. Rest in peace, Val Kilmer. A lot to get to in the second hour of the program.
Hello, friends. Happy Monday to you.
We started with the Masters, and then we pivoted into the Tennessee Nico situation. I don't think this is going to be the norm, by the way.
I don't
know that's going to be asked, or it already has been asked. There's just going to be one-off situations every once in a while until they get this NCAA ruling. But so we talked about the Nico-Tennessee story. We'll get back into the Masters. We got a lot of audio from Augusta we want to get to. I thought some good stuff from Rory. But we start the second hour. Eric Gundersen's going to join us at 7:30, Blazer Banter. He has his new, his latest, I should say, Chauncey Billups article. Because it was announced over the weekend that indeed Chauncey Billups is going nowhere.
Yeah.
He was extended.
Yes.
He got a multi-year agreement as well as Joe Cronin. So it seems that Cronin and Billups are lockstep for the next three seasons at the minimum. And so they held the press conference early yesterday. I couldn't have been more wrong. We were doing predictions, and I said I thought they'd kick the can down the road. That was not the case. They wanted to keep Billups. And so the Blazers extended Chauncey Billups and held the press conference yesterday. Got a lot of cuts. But what was your reaction? Because you guys actually broke the news to me. I was on the golf course.
Yeah, Swag broke the news. He was the one that first saw it. I wasn't plugged into my phone at that point.
Well, also, let me be fair.
Yeah.
Creeping back into our lives.
Hello.
Door creaks open, just like in a Hi, guys. It's me, Dwight James. Chauncey's coming back. Oh.
Was he the one that had the report that I missed?
He was
that?
The one that broke it. He had the scoop. I want to give fair credit. Dwight James broke it.
He's got the scoop.
He had it on his Substack.
Yeah.
I did not see the Substack, but he had it on the Substack.
It was on the stack, on the sub.
And so fair is fair, and all love and breaking news, Dwight James of DwightJamesSubstack.com /ReadSportsNow broke the Chauncey Billups is staying as the Blazer coach.
I mean, my initial reaction was I'm not surprised in the least. I've been bringing this up mainly throughout the entire year where it's been a foregone conclusion for some that he's going to be gone. And I would just ask, when was the last time this organization did the thing that seemed like a foregone conclusion? It seemed like it was a foregone conclusion that Anfernee Simons would get traded 2 years ago when they drafted guards in back-to-back top 10 drafts.
Oh, I got thoughts on that.
And he's still here. He's probably still going to be here next year. So, you know, when was the, you know, you drafted a center in the top 10. You already had two other centers on the roster. Seemingly, it would make sense that one of those centers would get traded because you just took one of the top 10. That seemed like the obvious thing to do, and the organization did not do it. So I'm not surprised in the least. The timing of it was interesting. I don't know why, if you're giving them both extensions, you wouldn't have just done it at the same time. Maybe you wanted each of them to have their moment in the sun with Cronin and with Chance. But, hey, when you're heading in this skyrocket direction of NBA championships to come, you got to keep your coach and your GM around.
Here is the GM, Joe Cronin, on what you just suggested there. The timing of this and how it came to be with Chauncey's announcement of his extension.
You know, the last couple of years, it's been complicated. We're from, you know, a team that we hoped could be competitive a few years ago to a team that had a really rough season the year prior to, you know, very subpar start to this season. So those are tough, you know, navigating that as a group. And that's something I'm really proud of, is how we stayed together. Nobody panicked. We believed in what we were building. We believed in, you know, the group of people we have, including, of course, you know, the players that we have. And when we started taking those steps, it was, you know, I don't think it was anything that surprised us. We just didn't know exactly when that was going to happen. When those guys, you know, started playing the level of defense that we expected, when they, you know, started to be more and more connected, when, you know, we started winning ball games and being really competitive on a nightly basis, that changed everything for us. And we're really proud of, you know, what's happened this second half of the season.
There's a lot of cuts I want to get to that we have from Cronin and Chauncey since Chauncey got here. And by the way, I the one thing that becomes revisionist in some ways is we kind of act like he got here and the roster was gutted at that point. And that wasn't the case.
It was not the case.
I don't know if it's in a cut, but I just want to get out in front and say it in case it's not. He basically admitted yesterday that he was not ready to be a head coach.
So he's done that every time he's done an interview of like, man, I've grown so much and I've learned so much. It's like, you were billed as the guy who came in to put us over the top because Terry Stotts was the problem.
He admitted that he was not ready to be a guy that takes a team over the top. And I'm like, oh, yeah, that's right. Your former agent gave you that job without any real experience.
You're telling me 1 year as an assistant isn't enough experience? Is that what you're telling me?
No, 6 months of coaching basketball is not enough. But he is here, and these have been the records, 27-55, 33-49, 21-61, and they finished this season 36-46. That has been the four-year run of Chance, and him and Joe got extensions. Here was their turnaround, and Chauncey talked about the defense. When they took their defense seriously is when all this changed.
I kind of got to a point with our squad, who it was, the name on the back of the jersey, the salary, the whatever, I didn't care. We were sinking, and we were sinking pretty bad. I said, I'm going to play the guys. They're going to compete and play defense. And if you don't do that, I don't care. I'm just not going to play. And I meant that. And they felt that. And it really brought us together, to be honest with you. And, you know, the guys started seeing the beauty in being competitive and the beauty in playing defense. And it's what I've always said, like when you have a connected group, they're just very difficult to play against. And so they kind of got lost in that.
There was a question also asked to them that I don't believe we polled, but it was just something worth mentioning. They kind of, in a way, gave a real vibe that winning 10 of 11 games kind of decided all of this.
That was it. That's all you needed
to
see.
There was a little bit of that I took away from watching that press conference.
That's all you needed, man. When you win 36 games, I kind of rolled my eyes throughout the entirety of it. Look, there's a balance of wanting to be fair and rational in the analysis of this. Like, the roster the last 2 years has been horrible. No coach in the history of the league would win any sort of significant amount of games with that roster. I do chuckle at this idea of him having to grow as a coach because he was brought in as the finishing piece. He was the last, his championship experience as a player will put us over the top. And for the first 2 years he was here, the goal was to not tank. That became an eventuality throughout the course of the season.
Yeah.
But the last two, or, you know, last year mainly, the roster was atrocious and they planned on tanking and it was bad. I had a moment throughout this, and I probably did it a dozen times when I finally sat down and watched it last night, where it just, like, they are really setting themselves up for next year. And I'm glad that eventually Bill Orem held their feet to the fire, because for the entirety of this press conference, it was, everything is great. We're going in the right direction. Look how bright the future is. We might have our superstars. Like, it was just, look how high we can soar, everybody. And then finally, Orem was the one that stepped up and was like, well, if you're selling us this, does that mean the playoffs are happening next year?
Is that basically the end goal? Playoffs?
Which it should be. If you're telling me that this is such a great roster and look, all this internal development that's going to happen, we're so young, we got all these weapons in the offseason, we got cap space, we got future draft picks, we got a lot of stuff to play with. Like, they're really selling you that the future is bright. And I personally don't see that level of future. I think you're still a star away. But I did have to roll my eyes a few times at just acting as if this was an incredible success story, which they certainly exceeded expectations. I will give them credit for that.
Yeah.
But when you look at the second half of the year, I believe by my math, now I'm not going to count yesterday because they played a D-League roster yesterday in the Lakers had nothing to play for. I believe by my math, they beat two teams with a winning record in the second half of the season, and in both instances, the best player on the team didn't play.
Well, we can get into that, too, because I went through some numbers last night, because we're doing this, splitting it up into 41 games. One part of that doesn't count, but the one other part does count when it comes to all of what we're talking about, extensions, the future. It's primarily based on a 40. They describe it themselves as a half the season, 41 games.
41 game sample size. So, who cares about the first half of the year? That doesn't matter.
That didn't
count.
It's
just the second half of the year.
And I went to the point in the calendar where the 41 game split exactly starts, and I went through some numbers, and I'll tell you some of those numbers. And I want to ask this question because I want to get to the superstar part of this. They talked about that yesterday. There was a cut from Joe on basically saying what they accomplished makes them feel that taking big swings with young talent is no longer a big priority. Not priority, but not a mandate.
Not
is
a
how
necessity,
I should phrase that.
Yeah.
And so I want to get to some of the numbers. I want to get to this audio, and I asked this going into the break. Is basing everything going forward for the next 3 years, is it fair to do that on a 41-game sample size if you truly believed in that 41-game sample size? Is that enough of a sample in four full seasons of Chauncey Billups for you to conclude this should keep going? Some numbers and some more cuts from the Blazer press conference. Gunderson will join us at 7:30. Dirt and Sprague back with more on The Fan.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max 1 offer per account.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Eric Gunderson's going to join us for the Daily Ticker coming up at the bottom of the hour. Your thoughts are welcome at the Fan text line, 503-864-6326, because at the Fan, I don't know if you know this, we treat you right before, during, and after the text, even when you hate us and you disagree with us.
Period.
1080thefan.com is our website as well.
That's what we do.
You can chime in there. You can also chime in on the YouTubes. And let us know, do you think a 41-game sample size in a four-year period is enough? Stop. Can you stop giggling? Sorry. The giggle doesn't help.
Sorry.
Enough of a sample size for you to go in and say, yeah, let's do this for 3 more years. Chauncey does have, I think, of games. And look, some of this is not his fault. I'm just stats, okay? I think of like 330-plus career coaching games. He has like the third or fourth worst record ever.
Sounds about right.
In league history. But again, he had a 21-game season last year.
Yep.
They won 36 this year. So I went back and I looked at the 41-game sample because everybody they cited this themselves multiple times.
This is why we got to bring everybody back, keep everybody together.
I thought Hyken made a good point in kind of a question. You were like one of the worst defenses for the first 41, and then you were a top five. So, like, is that really...
Is there truth somewhere in the middle where maybe you're not this juggernaut defensively that's going to win a championship next year?
So January 19th would be the start of the last 41 games. I went and counted it. So that was Chicago.
Chicago.
These are their wins. In those 41 games. They won 23 games, okay? Chicago, Miami, Orlando twice, Charlotte twice, Milwaukee, Phoenix twice, Indy, which, by the way, I went and looked at the Indy game because I had forgotten. One of, if not the worst, weird games of Tyrese Halliburton's season.
Yes.
He shot three times.
He just no-showed completely.
He just, like, didn't try in that game.
I remember doing a segment the next day because I don't watch Pacers basketball saying, what the hell happened to that guy? And you said, well, that was kind of an outlier for him.
Sacramento, and that was their first LaVine trade game.
Yep.
So it was like a day after they made the trade with Fox. So they won that one. Utah, Washington twice, Brooklyn, Philly, Toronto twice, Memphis, Denver, Atlanta, San Antonio. And then if you want to count the Lakers with the Bronny starting game, you can. I don't, but whatever, wins are wins.
And the Memphis and Denver games, there was no Ja Morant and there was no Nikola Jokic.
So I went and looked at some stats on this just out of curiosity. 12. And by the way, you just highlighted some other reasoning you could add to the context there. No Ja, no Jokic.
A lot of times in the back half of the year, they played teams who didn't have their star.
12 of those 23 wins were against teams with the same amount of wins or worse than them.
Yep.
So already more than half.
You're beating up on the bottom barrel of the NBA.
Six, four of which were in the East. Six wins were against teams that are currently in the play-in. Again, four of which are in the East and would be garbage in the West.
Below 500 teams.
14 of the 23 were against the East in general. And 10 of their 23 wins were versus the bottom six offenses in the league, according to Cleaning the Glass. And 12 of their 23 wins were versus the bottom nine defenses in the NBA, according to Cleaning the Glass. So they played bottom-ass offenses, and then they played garbage defenses, and then they beat the crap out of the bad Eastern Conference teams. And all this to just highlight what we'll get to with the audio. Is this really a sample size we want to conclude is absolute going forward? I like some of the pieces, but running the numbers, it doesn't quite compute.
There's also a million of roster construction questions that still linger over their head going into the offseason. Primarily, are you still going to have one of your top 10 picks at guard coming off the bench? Or have they played their way into the starting lineup in year three and year four of their NBA career? Where Anthony Simons still being in the roster.
Which guy are you talking about?
Either one.
Because there's two guards.
Either one. One's got to come off the bench if you don't trade Anthony Simons.
So I thought about the Simons thing, and I want to get to some of these other cuts. There's a big swing cut from Cronin I want to get to. I was thinking about this, watching this
They're
press
definitely going to take a big swing, by the way. Now's the time. They're going to go so all in, it's going to hurt.
Well, so Chance is like, you know, the best way to win in this league is defense. And I remember his press conference, he was asked about, like, his defensive philosophy, and he basically was like, I don't really focus on the defense. And I'm like,
yeah,
that was how he was sold as the coach candidate.
That comes from his playing days. He won an NBA championship because Detroit was legit defensively.
Well, he's learned in the 3 years prior. He learned he had to mature as a coach, and yet the organization needed to learn about him. That was an interesting answer. But they keep leaning into the defensive part of this because it was a top five defense the last 41. It's defense. Okay, that's going to be the way we win in this league is defense. I might start looking at the draft and go, who's good defensively? Because maybe that's just where they're going to go. Who's tall, long, and good defensively? And then I start thinking, well, if defense is the way you're going because you've taken yourself out of the flag sweepstakes, why you're already deficient offensive? Why would you not bring Anthony Simons back? You need a ball. You need a shot creator, do you not?
You probably do.
And so if you're leaning defense, I'm gearing myself up mentally for the extension.
And they're not going to trade him. He's not going to get traded.
Because if you're leaning defense and length and all that, you're still needing some offense.
Sure you are.
Who provides offense
especially
for
him? Especially when you're going to be a top four seed in the West next year. Who's going to be your leading scorer? You got to have him around.
You know, they like their brand. They like what they draft. So it kind of actually makes sense in my mind based on what I heard for them to sign Anthony Simons. Because you're going to need offense if you don't win the lottery.
It's been a frustrating year, to say the least, for me because of the general strategy that I thought was misplaced from day one of the season. And these are the kind of things that just leave me more frustrated at the end of the year, where how differently is the year handled? How differently is playing time handled? Had Chauncey Billups been given the extension before the year? Had you picked up his option before the year, where he didn't feel like essentially it was a lame duck? Everybody we talked to all season, he was a lame duck coach. There's no chance they're going to bring him back. He's already got his job set up at the next television network he's going to go work for. And so his primary focus was to win as many games as humanly possible. Mm-hmm. The biggest fear to me...
Well, he couldn't do that at the beginning. They won 13 games in their
exactly,
first
Exactly. But then it clicked. Don't worry. Then he held him accountable. But Anthony Simons was still in the lineup every night despite not playing any defense. But oh, you're only going to be in the lineup if you're going to play
again, you need
defense.
Offense.
My biggest fear about this organization, and it to me, every step that they're making currently is making it a bigger and bigger and bigger fear. And that is, I've used the analogy before, this is a business. This is an organization that wants to make money. They're not really interested in taking a lot of big risks right now. We don't know how long the owner is going to hold this team. We don't know how long that's going to transpire. I think a lot of fans hope sooner rather than later we get an answer on that front. The status quo is just fine, man, because what we saw happen this year for them, not for me, for them, what we saw happen this year is they won 10 out of 11, and what happened to the Moda Center? People flocked back like crazy. All of a sudden, the place was full, and they're banging their little bang-bang drums or whatever, you know, during free throws. And look at that. The Moda Center's got life again for the first time in 4 or 5 years. You go on social media, there's an identity. The guys are playing hard. Fans are buying into this. Now, it's not the majority of the fan base, but it doesn't take a lot to win a segment of this fan base over. And what they did this year, again, having the ninth worst record in the NBA and winning 36 games.
Well, ninth or tenth, depending on the coin flip.
Well, that's very true. It was enough of a bar to clear. And so why would you rock the boat hiring a new general manager? Why would we rock the boat hiring a new head coach? Let's keep the status quo in play. Blazer fans will show up next year. They win 39 games and we'll be sold. We took another big step. And then the next year is when we take our big swing.
We'll get to Gunderson here in just a second for the ticker. I found this an interesting... Like, I literally had an eyebrow raise. Cronin asked about, we thought they were going to be in the lottery. This draft is supposed to be far more talented than last year's mid-draft, and they seemed all in on Alex Saar. They didn't get him, so they get the clinger. And then here's Cooper Flagg. Kind of makes the most sense for what the roster currently is, if we're being honest, because nobody wants the Jeremy Grant contract to continue. So you got a hole at four. Who plays the four? Just kind of made sense in my brain. I loved everything else around them. Tamani, Denny, all that. Joe Cronin said this on saying, yo, we don't suddenly feel the same urge of going after that young, pretty young thing.
This year I felt like we got a ton of data. What's working, what isn't. What skill sets do we need to add? What types of personalities do we need to add? We learned a lot about our roster this year. Do we have all the answers yet? No. Are we still learning? Yes. I mean, still the second youngest team in the league, still have a lot to learn about and see from our young players and how these veterans fit in with them. So the approach, though, I think we can definitely be more diligent about the specific type of player that we're adding. And I love that we're at that stage where, as a front office, we don't feel that pressure to keep taking swing after swing to try and hit on the next up-and-coming guy. I think we're starting to feel really comfortable with our talent base that we can be more diligent about adding specific types of guys.
That is, that's a very honest answer from Joe Cronin. And just my general thought that could prove to be totally inaccurate. We don't feel the pressure that we can just go try to find the right need. That's a take that I would expect from the team that's currently third in their conference.
Hey,
not a team that won 36 games.
We're knocking on the door.
And beat a lot of bad teams in the back end of that schedule.
Yeah, you're setting, this is a, we project as a 55-win team with
a little Al
Farouk Aminu with the four.
A little bit of, there was a little
why
bit
don't
of that
we? Vibe. Who's to say we don't have our star? Why do we need to go find a star? He could already be on the run. There's a lot of that.
Oh, we'll get to that cut, too. I want to play that.
What's the step you take? Hold them accountable, Blazer fans. I know they won't, but I hope that you do.
I don't know what that bar is, but we can ask Eric Gunderson of the Blazer Substack, Blazer Banter. He'll join us for the Daily Ticker. We get his thoughts on the extension for Chauncey. And what is the bar for the Blazers? Eric Gunderson joins us for the Daily Ticker next on Fan.
In this wide world of sports, some stories can slip through the cracks.
Now, before we do this, Let's go over the ground rules.
Pelican Brewing presents the Daily Ticker, where Dirt and Sprague hit the big stories you've heard about. And some you haven't.
How'd you do that? Actually, I'm not even mad. It's amazing.
The Daily Ticker with Dirt and Sprague is brought to you by Pelican Brewing, independently brewing on the Oregon coast since 1996. Crack open a can of Beat Breaker Double IPA and take a bold, hoppy break. Pelican Brewing, born at the beach.
Hey, Pelican Brewing Company presents today's Daily Ticker. Pelican invites you to take a beach break at one of their four coastal locations, Cannon Beach, Tillamook, Pacific City, and the newest one in Lincoln City, Pelican Brewing Company, born at the beach. Joining us now is our good friend, live from the toilet, Eric Gunderson, Blazer Banter on Twitter, at Blazer Banter.
Right in the butt.
Is where you can find him. Check out his Substack, blazerbanter.substack.com. Gundy, good morning to you. It's always nice to talk to a like-minded Blazer fan like yourself, and we follow each other on social media, and I see some of the gripes and complaints, and I think, you know what, this is a guy I like the cut of his jib. Your reaction to the news coming out early Sunday morning, Chauncey's extended. Hey, by the way, press conference right around the corner, and he's got a new 3-year deal to be the head coach still.
It was less surprising on Sunday morning than it would have been even 2 months ago. But, you know, it still feels like, you know, it feels like they went into the season thinking that this is the last year that he was coach, and then they had the run that they had. And I think the other factor here is that the Phoenix and Denver thing, I think, ended up really solidifying him staying. Mm. I think garnering interest from other teams, I think, you know, may have, you know, I think it definitely helped his leverage and ability to get a deal. And I mean, if you're Chauncey, you're looking at the situations in Phoenix and Denver, even if you get offered those jobs, it's looking a little bit like Dame and Portland in 2021, where it's like, here are these two teams that exceeded that or fell short of expectations, have these all NBA players that people are speculating could be on the move, and then you're stuck in the situation that you have just been in for the last 3 years again. Hmm.
The Chauncey thing is interesting because they kept citing yesterday that 10 out of 11. And I look, they're citing also 41, the top five defensive stuff. We went through it, and like most of these wins, if you're just being honest about it, I had this stat, Gundy, that I looked up, this via Clean and Glass. 12 of the 23 were against teams with the same amount of wins or worse. Four of the six wins they had against play-in teams were from the East. And 10 of their 23 wins were against the bottom six offenses in the league. And 12 of their 23 wins were against the bottom nine defenses in the league. So they beat a lot of crap. And my takeaway is it sounded like winning 10 of 11 is what decided all of this. And that, to me, is a little bit of a wild way to decide it.
Look, I agree. And I, you know, I pointed out in my Substack, I think there was that I wrote yesterday, I think there was some, look, there was some definitely good things that Chauncey Billups did this year. And I think, like, you know, the way that Denny Avdia emerged, the way he kind of took playing time away from Shaedon Sharpe and made him lock in on defense, the Scoot renaissance. But like, it all does feel that they're like, it's the Chris Paul meme where he hits a huge three to cut the lead to 42. Like, it does feel like that is ultimately what they celebrated yesterday, is cutting the lead to 42. And you know, like they have a little bit of swagger now. And so, I mean, yeah, it does feel that, you know, they kind of are overreacting to, you know, a stretch of play, but those are the games that they played, and he did win them, but it definitely does feel like they're celebrating a little too much mediocrity, maybe than maybe they should be. But like I said, though, there were some positives that he did that you do mm-hmm. have to give him credit for.
Yeah, no doubt. And there's positives. I would even look for Joe. I mean, the Denny trade, I think by the day looks better and better for people. Still a lot to give up, but still looks better and better. I would just add, Dirt, before you ask Gundy a question.
Yeah.
The Scoot thing is fascinating. He didn't play the last handful of games because of the concussion, / they're also tanking. But he played less minutes this year and played four more games. So, like, what are we doing?
Yeah.
Less minutes, four more games.
Yeah,
can anybody in the room explain that to me?
Yeah. And I think Joe's going to have to address that in the summer with personnel moves to make sure that he's not coming off the bench anymore.
I don't think he will. They're all in on defense, dude. You need somebody to score. Why would you not extend Ant?
You're going to have back-to-back top 10 picks. One of them's going to come off the bench in year three or year four of their career next year if Anthony Simons is still on the roster. I just make it make sense.
Who's going to score for them next year if they're not making a big swinging trade and they don't get the pick?
I mean,
they need Ant's
They have
offense.
Stars on their team already, you idiot. They're all developing into stars, damn it. Could you shut my co-host up, Gundy? Let me ask you another question. At Blazer Banter on Twitter, go check out his Substack. I think my biggest overall question, and Blazer fans are very sensitive. Like, if I give an honest take about how I feel about the organization, it, you know, turns into like personal shots and how dare you? You've insulted my family. My biggest question and issue is, I don't know if they seriously care about winning at the highest level because I don't know what the long-term commitment is from ownership and how much of this is just simply, hey, we got a good thing going. Blazer fans are kind of reinvigorated for the first time in, what, 4 years? Like, it's been a minute since Blazer fans have been excited about the general future. They're buying tickets again. Merchandise sales are on the rise. Let's just keep this thing riding out for the next couple of years, and there's not really an incentive to try and win at the highest level. Do you agree with that assessment, or do you think there really is that push from Jody and Burke Cold?
I'm in 100% agreement with you. Dirt. I think it's hard to look at what just happened and like the reaction to a 35 win season as like they want to win at the highest level. Now, a lot of coaches in Chauncey's position that get asked to tank don't get the opportunity on the other side of the tank to try and win. I think Brett Brown got like 1 year or one or two years that the Sixers were actually good and had expectations to be good. But, you know, it doesn't happen that often. But, it does feel like they kind of love the status quo, don't they? You know, like the ownership group. It does feel like usually if push comes to shove, running it back is usually what they end up doing.
Well, the passion.
How many years was it that way with Dame at the end of his career? Well, like, let's just keep everybody together.
It kind of, unfortunately, because Cold's been here since Paul owned the team, so he's been here since the late 80s, 90s. Like, it kind of feels like, in a way, I don't know, it feels like, in a way, the passion of this fan base, which is one of the best in the league, mixed with the lack of pressure the market creates for the franchise to do anything, like, really relevant. They know that internally. And I want to ask you this. One of my big takeaways, aside from them just kind of not caring about the draft in general, and then also saying, like, we can now choose what kind of players we want for this, not we need to go find that big swing. I thought that was really interesting to say that. My other takeaway was from Jason Quick's question. I think they kind of like just admitted that Cold's more the owner than Jody. They try to play Jody as the owner, but Burke Cold's doing moderated like news phone call conferences every week, and he's running that. Like, that seems like something that a real owner would be doing. Not, he calls himself the moderator, but I don't know. My takeaway was them kind of like exposing that Cold is without a doubt probably more the owner than Jody is. Did you have any takeaways that maybe hasn't got enough highlight from yesterday's presser?
Yeah, I mean, I think Burt's history with Paul Allen and him being a part of this franchise for forever, and I think really Jody is the figure, you know, figure owner, and I think there's parts of it that she likes. Like, I think she likes some of the action. I think she likes some of this, but I think Burt is the one that is day to day. He's the one that is thinking about these things. I think when Joe Cronin or Chauncey or Dwayne Hankins or someone has something, they've got to run it by Burt. And I think it's pretty clear that Burt is the one that is in charge. I think I said this before we found out that the extension happened, but I said, you know, one way or another, a lot more Blazer fans are going to know who Burt Cold is after this is all done, because I just think that this is, you know, his fingerprints are all over this. And so, I think it would be a very, very, you know, astute observation to say that, like, yes, Jody Allen is the owner in name, but I think the person who does the day-to-day stuff that an owner would do is Burt Cold.
Yeah. Whoa, that's a good way to end right there. Live from the toilet, Eric Gunderson. Go check out his Substack, man. This guy, it's fun to read.
Excuse you, Gundy.
I mean, just a little excuse me would be nice. BlazerBanter.substack.com has a piece up from yesterday on Chauncey Billups. He's back, baby. Keep everybody together. We're heading in the right direction. At Blazer Banter on Twitter. Gundy, thanks for waking up with us this morning. We always enjoy and appreciate the time. Let's do it again soon.
All right, sounds good, guys. Have a good day.
There you go. Eric Gunderson, Blazer Banter.
Did he say good day, or was he kind of saying good day and it didn't come out?
I don't think
right.
It quite came out the way that he
wanted. All right, guys, have a good day.
Yeah, it kind of faded away there. I mean, he's on the toilet. Give the guy a little
You're
bit of a breather.
You're right, it's echoey in there. It's echoey. There could be people inside because it's a public restroom.
The acoustics aren't quite what they are in a
studio.
I've
heard he has a shared commons restroom that he has like seven other random roommates. You got to be a little quiet.
Well, a few other things we need to unpack here. We haven't even played all of our audio yet. Did you know that Burt Cold sits down with Chauncey and Joe Cronin every week and gives player personnel feedback?
And I just, like, Joe's been doing this since an intern. Mike Schmitz has been covering international and local prospects in the draft. Like, Chauncey has been coaching and playing.
Yeah, Burkhold's got experience, though, Sprague. He's got decades of experience.
So do I.
Running an NBA organization.
I guess by those standards, so do I.
So we got to get to that. Quick was on a heater yesterday, I thought, asking questions at the press conference. And he asked another one about, hey, how do you guys get that, you know, thing that you need in the NBA to win, which is a superstar?
They have it.
And Joe and Chance both answered that. So we'll have some more Blazer audio on the other side. Your thoughts are welcome at the fan text line or live on the YouTube chat, 503-864-6326. The Daily Ticker, as always, brought to you by our good friends at Pelican Brewing Company. They invite you to take a beach break at one of their four coastal locations. You know, they got four: Cannon Beach, Tillamook, Pacific City, and Lincoln City. Mm. Pelican Brewing Company, born at the beach. Some Blazer audio from Cronin and Chance next on The Fan.
It's crunch time.
Let's go!
Where Dirt and Sprague crunch the hot topics you want to hear.
What's the pressure?
Don't sit here and act like there's no... We get nervous teeing off in front of a gallery on the 10th hole at Eastmoreland.
Crunch time, brought to you by Crunch Fitness. With memberships as low as $9.99 per month. Find your crunch time in Portland, Vancouver, and online at crunch.com.
Hey, crunch time, brought to you by Crunch Fitness. Did you know memberships are as low as $9.99 a month, and you can find your crunch time in Portland, Vancouver, and online at crunch.com. Last to get to in the final hour of the show, we'll see what we have on the leftover sheet for tomorrow's show. We've got an hour and 10 minutes to go, hour and 8 minutes to go to be exact.
We got Masters audio too.
We haven't played any Rory audio yet. We got to dive back into that. The NBA playoffs, or not all of the series, but some
of
the series
matchups
are set. And then we know the play-ins, which will begin tomorrow night. So we got that in the notes. Lots still to get to on the show.
We could rank where the East play-in ranks for sports. It's got to be bottom of 100 things. It's got to be near the bottom.
Oh, can I be honest with you? I'm not watching.
Why would you? Both of them are getting swept.
I'm not watching that.
Why would you watch that?
I'll watch the West ones.
I'll watch the West ones. Should be good.
Want to watch the Bulls versus the Celtics?
No. I'm watching the WNBA draft.
Hell yeah, brother.
Hell yeah. Let's get to a little more Blazer audio. This will probably carry over to start the final hour as well.
You getting woke over there.
Look at me. You go woke, go broke.
I was talking to Swag.
Oh, sorry.
He was watching WNBA draft.
My apologies. Hey, Burt Cold, he's got a lot of expertise. You know, he's a smart guy. Been running teams for a long time.
Well, yes and no.
Hey, you shut your ass up over there, okay? Burt Cold's a smart man.
Well, anytime I'm struggling with a radio idea, I call up people who have never done any content
creation.
That's
usually what
I do.
Hey, what would you guys do? What would you do in this situation?
Yeah. I listen to the radio. I know.
Yeah. I've listened before.
I've been around for 40 years.
I've been around radios my entire life. I know what I would do in that segment. I know how to handle this. Jason Quick was on a heater yesterday. I thought he asked some terrific questions. Great to have him back there. And he asked this one. Hey, you know, Joe, Burt Cold's kind of running the show. How does that look, and how do you operate with him?
Burt's great. We spend a lot of time. When I say we, you know, we do a thing which I think is really unique and very positive for, you know, what we're doing here. We call it a sync up, where it's myself, Chauncey, Dwayne, and Burt. Once a week, it's a big download on what's going on in our worlds that week. You know, what are we working on? What do we need help with? What's going well? What isn't? And Burt plays a great role in that, where he's moderator. He's asking us questions. He's helping us think in different ways. He's providing insight, you know, his decades of experience. So, you know, that's a microcosm of the role Burt plays overall, where he's active. He cares about this team. He cares about us. He wants to see us all succeed. and he's challenging us. Hey, have you thought about this? Hey, we need to do this better. You know, and it could be, you know, the topics are wide ranging, of course, big stuff like roster decisions.
Bingo.
There's input there and there's collaboration. Hey, have you thought about this? You know, what about what's this team saying? You know, there's definite, you know, back and forth with myself and Chauncey and him, and good positive feedback.
So they call it a sync up. I don't know if you guys heard. They do a sync up every week.
Is that
where
how
you sync
nerds
up?
Nerds make things something sound cool.
You got to sync up.
It's a conference.
Hey, you want to link
normal
up?
Normal thing, by the way. Like
I don't know.
Leaders at companies.
So
talk.
Burke Hold is the life coach. For
he's the
Blazers?
Life coach for the Blazers.
Is that what I discern from that?
I mean, look. The biggest takeaway
he's
is not
the owner.
He is the owner. He calls the shots.
He's not the legal representative of the ownership. It is Jody. It is look. It's a technicality that they can say. Jody, yeah. But in reality, you're doing the sync up with
the
guy
who's designated governor for the Blazers to the league when they actually have to vote on.
I think it's Jody Allen. It's Jody Allen for
so
sure.
It's like in a way, it's like yeah, she's it, but it's like
he's got decades of experience.
Well, what roster ideas is this?
This is where
giving?
I mean, that was the biggest takeaway. It's not a surprise.
That guy's good. You should pick him up.
That Burkhold is involved in day to day operations of the Blazers, right? Like we all know, he's running the show behind the scenes, and he has been for a long time. That's
I don't
not
know
a surprise.
If people. I think people know it. I don't want to say our listeners are really smart, even if we disagree on things. I think you would be surprised how many people don't know it.
Yeah, it's one of the things that I've tried to balance of. With the Joe Cronin analysis of, I don't know how much control he has. Like, I thought this a lot when he came out early in his tenure as GM with the, we're going to go so all in, it's going to hurt comments. When I don't know if he has the authority to do that. I know that's crazy. Like, he's a general manager. Why would he not? He has to get approval on everything that he does. And I don't think he's the ultimate decider for day-to-day roster decisions. And that, to me, was the biggest takeaway in that quote. The fact that you're sitting down and getting roster input from Burkhold tells you all you need to know about the current state of the team.
Well, I think the other thing, yeah, input versus what they decide are two different things, by the way. So let's be fair there. I'm not saying I agree with it, but let's be fair. My kind of initial thought, the Chauncey announcement, because you guys text and then I jumped onto Blue Sky, I only sent out one thing and I said, look, you can make arguments, the win improvements, the defensive metrics, second half, you can make an argument. The extension where it doesn't pass the smell test for me, just as a basketball fan, I guess, somewhat of Burkhold level. I watch basketball. I know.
You're very experienced.
Where it doesn't pass the smell test is this is a first-time general manager. Go back to the Giants general manager, Joe Shane. He's in his office. His kid is throwing a football. Draft Jade Daniels. You're only going to do this once, Dad.
You only get one shot at it,
Dad. Like his own child is saying, you're going to get fired and you ain't getting this job again. And I don't know what the future
holds
for Joe. Take a
swing, man. Take a chance.
But you're a first-time general manager. You didn't hire Chauncey Billups. This is where it doesn't pass. You have a chance as a GM to go pick your guy.
Go get an NBA championship-winning head coach. There's one of them on the market right now.
And I know the other side of that is an easy Sprague. They were at the presser. They grew up together. They're in sync. Hands are holding. Okay, I guess. But like, if I'm a GM and I'm patient coming in, and I'm not going to overreact and fire somebody immediately.
Go through your rebuild.
I am getting to a point where I go, I can finally pick my own guy, and this hasn't really changed all that much. I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
Because you might only get one of... That's where it didn't pass the smell test initially for me was, could pick his own guy, and they're just going to sync up. And maybe that'll be the best move for them going forward. But... my antennas went up and it just didn't smell quite right.
Yeah, I think this is another example of an organization that loves the status quo. They did this at the end of Damian Lillard's era where it was the same coach, same GM every year, every year, every year. Didn't matter the highs or the lows or the failures. Let's bring everybody back together. And then finally we scapegoat the coach and he's the problem. And then the next year the GM gets turfed. It was very few roster moves. It was keeping Dame and CJ together. It's let's just status quo, man. Mm-hmm. That's what they love. And it's another example of that. Crunch Time brought to you by Crunch Fitness Membership. As low as $9.99 a month. Find your Crunch Time in Portland, Vancouver online, crunch.com. We'll wrap up the Blazer stuff to start the final hour, including is there a superstar on the team and can we nail him down? Like, what are the expectations for next year? What's the step that you take? Congrats on winning 30 games for the first time in a minute. What's the next step? And they gave their thoughts on that. So we'll start the final hour there, get back into the Masters, loaded final hour to go anywhere, Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.